My guest for one-on-one this week is Keith Jones, whom you may have heard once or twice on RAG in his capacity as programme director for the popular Mofham Film Festival. Besides his involvement in this annual showcase of music documentaries, Keith Jones is a documentary maker in his own right, and has also helped produce films such as the award-winning Fighter, a poignant look at two elderly Czech Jews recounting their experiences of World War II and the Holocaust. Originally a native of Washington, D.C., Keith Jones has been based in Prague since coming to the Czech capital in 1991 to study at the renowned FAMU Film School. I started by asking him why he chose to come to this part of the world.
I came here because I had been recommended to do so by one of my most influential and favorite teachers at university, who was a Czech emigre novelist and professor of literature, who, when I first encountered him, he already seemed interesting and notable as a person. He was just a larger-than-life figure with amazing presence and great anecdotes and stories, and he was a good teacher. But in the fall semester of 1989, which was my first year at university, he somehow became distracted about halfway through the course and started to change his image and to become more somehow presentable and aware, rather than this sort of dirty old man, but in a lovable sense, character. And until the point where he emerged one day wearing a suit and tie in the class and announced that he had to go back to his mysterious country of origin, where seemingly a revolution had taken place and his very good friend had become the president. And so after this, I think everyone in that class realized, well, actually, you know, we thought this guy was cool and interesting before, but he actually is an amazing resource and someone who should be taken with much more seriousness and is someone that we can probably learn a great deal from about things not only connected just with European literature. So this professor, Arnošt Lustig, who is one of the, you know, leading Czech novelists of his generation, then became a kind of mentor figure for me. And even though I had no family connection or prior roots in the Czech Republic, it became a place that I actually learned quite a lot about and became quite immersed in the culture of, even before I had visited here, through his influence.
You actually studied documentary filmmaking at FAMU. Do you think there's such a thing as a Czech school of documentaries? And if so, what do you think of these new offbeat documentary films like Czech Dream, which takes a scathing look at consumerism in this country? Where do films like that fit into this tradition?
I think very much there is a tradition of Czech documentary, and the documentary department at FAMU teaches that and really schools you in the fact that you are part of a long-standing tradition and that there are streams within Czech documentary that go back decades. But I think what you're talking about and pointing out is that in recent years there's been a wave of really very interesting documentaries which have broken out of the traditional television ghetto of documentary filmmaking and are not just essayistic or journalistic approaches to filmmaking, but are extremely creative and have gotten into mainstream distribution in cinemas, even internationally.
Speaking of mainstream films, you yourself helped make the extremely popular documentary Fighter, which starts out as a study of two Czech Jews, RAF fighter pilot Jan Wiener and writer Arnošt Lustig, sharing their reminiscences of World War II, but quickly becomes overshadowed by their own personal animosities. How did you come to be involved in this project?
I got involved with that because the director of the film, Amir Barlev, was someone who I had met previously. We had mutual friends in common. And he brought me in as a consultant to sort of advise him on how to combine Wiener's story with some other angle that would make it more attractive and more lively. And we sort of collectively agreed to bring in Arnošt Lustig, who I mentioned had been my teacher at university and was someone that I had a long-standing friendship with, knowing that he would be provocative and a little bit problematic and that it would cause Wiener to reevaluate certain moments in his own personal narrative. And we thought that we could partially control that and streamline that process into a certain way of telling the story with different points of view added to it. But of course, as you correctly pointed out, it really went out of control and became very tempestuous. And the relationship of the two guys in the present tense soon overpowered and went far beyond just talking about what had happened to them during the Second World War and the Nazi Holocaust. And the film became much more an examination of historical memory and its impact on the psychology of individuals. And because it was unique in that regard, the film went on to garner a lot of praise and got several awards at different festivals. And it became a film that everyone who worked on it got a certain level of credit internationally, and it allowed us all to go on to do other projects.
Your latest film, Durban Poison, is about a small group of people's ill-fated attempts to reopen the first black theatre in South Africa against the murky backdrop of local politics in that country. It's been hailed as the first ever Czech South African co-production, which sounds like a strange choice of collaboration.
Well, I think that's a common response of many people. Even when they hear that the film is a Czech-South African co-production, I think it causes people's eyebrows to raise slightly. It is a bit strange, and it's a path that people haven't traveled before. But I think there are actually very strong connections between the historical situation of those two countries, and I think that they have more in common and an easier ability to communicate than they realize.
I'm curious when you say that there are two societies that have like a lot of connections. What exactly do you mean by that? Where would you see the connection between South African and Czech society?
The society of Czechoslovakia as an independent state and the Union of South Africa, the first unified South African state, more or less came into being at the same time. They came into being as a result of the turmoil around the First World War and the geopolitical situation of that era. And they were both, in a way, an odd early example of post-colonialism, in fact, because the Czech lands were definitely psychologically and economically colonized by the Austrian Empire in a different sense than Africa was, perhaps. But I think in terms of the impression it left on people's attitudes and social structures, it can be measured in a similar way. Then, after the end of the Second World War, again, the historical situation in the two countries has a very strong parallel. Both countries had a sort of quasi-democratic attempt to create an open society after the Second World War, but both countries slid into dictatorship again at the same time, in the year 1948, and more or less emerged out from that shadow of dictatorship at the same time as well, with the collapse of communism here and of the apartheid system in South Africa at the end of the 80s. Because that period of time spanned two generations in either case, the issues of working through the transition and the movement away from a dictatorship to a free and open society have had very similar problems, especially as regards the generation gap within society and how people who came of age in the 80s are very different, for example, of people who came of age in the 60s in either society. So I would say that the connections are historical and psychological and have been influenced by the same broader currents in world history.
Besides promoting Durban Poison and getting ready for this year's Mofum Festival in October, have you got anything else in the pipeline?
Right now I'm working on putting together a DVD series for the band The Plastic People of the Universe. Hopefully the proposal is to do three DVDs over a period of several years that really map out and chart the entire history of the band through presenting rare archival materials and legendary concerts and so on, and really to provide a history of the band, not necessarily through a documentary film, say, but through a broader platform of a series of DVDs.